بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Clear your doubts about Islam. 50 answers to common questions. Compiled by Sahih International. Page 1. General. 1. What is Islam? Islam is an Arabic word which means peaceful, willing submission. Submission to the code of conduct ordained by God. So Islam is a religion, but it is also a complete way of life based upon a voluntary relationship between an individual and his creator. It is the way of life ordained by God, which was taught by each of his prophets and messengers. What distinguishes Islam from other religions is that it refuses to accept any form of creation whatsoever as a deity worthy of worship. Instead, it emphasizes the exclusive worship of the one God who created the entire universe and to whom all creation will eventually return. Monotheism is the foundation of Islam and its most important concept, which cannot be compromised in any way. Not only is God acknowledged as the sole creator and sustainer of everything in existence, but Islam declares that He is the only true deity and He alone is worthy to be worshipped. Further, it recognizes that the attributes of God are nothing like those of His creation and cannot be compared to it. He is absolute, perfect, and unique. 2. What is a Muslim? A Muslim is someone who practices Islam, that is, who willingly submits to the revealed directives of God. Everything in the universe is inherently submissive to God, functioning according to the natural laws created by Him. Human beings are physically Muslim in that their bodies function according to the genetic program set by God for the period of time He has decreed. A Muslim in the religious sense or Islamic sense, however, is someone who consciously commits himself or herself to the worship of God alone, not according to his own inclinations or those of other men, but according to the method conveyed by God through his appointed prophets. The Quran gives many examples of people who lived before Muhammad and believed in and obeyed the prophet that God had sent them. They entered paradise because of their obedience to God, and that is the meaning of Islam. All the prophets of God, from Adam to Muhammad, and those who believed and followed each of them during the period of his prophethood were called Muslims. But since Prophet Muhammad was the last of God's messengers to mankind, a Muslim can now only be defined as one who accepts and complies with the final completed message conveyed by God through him. For rationally, the most recently revised legislation always supersedes and invalidates whatever came before it. 3. Isn't it true that Islam is an Arab religion? This mistaken assumption is possibly based on the fact that Prophet Muhammad was an Arab, that most of the first generation of Muslims were Arabs, and that the Quran is in the Arabic language. But in actual fact, only about 18% of Muslims in the world today are Arabs. The largest Muslim populations are found in Indonesia, the Indian subcontinent, and other parts of Asia. Islam is also widespread in many parts of Africa, and there are substantial minorities in Europe, North and South America, and Oceania. Islam is the fastest growing major religion in the world, and its adherents on all continents, and its adherents on all continents include both Arabs and non-Arabs. Further, not all Arabs are Muslims, for there are significant communities of Christian Arabs as well as a number who belong to other religions or profess atheism. While Arab is a geographic and cultural term, Muslim refers to an adherent to the religion of Islam. While the revelation was still in its early stages, the Quran disclosed that Islam is indeed a global religion. Allah addressed His Prophet therein, saying, "And we have not sent you but as a mercy to all the worlds." and we have not sent you except comprehensively to mankind, as a bringer of good tidings and a warner, but most of the people do not know. Islam is meant for all people regardless of race, nationality, cultural or religious background. From the commencement of his mission, the Prophet's companions came from a wide range of lands and races. Among them was an African, a Byzantine, a Persian, and a Jewish scholar. All were united in the brotherhood of faith. There are many references in the Quran to the universal nature of Islam. It frequently addresses humanity, saying, O mankind, or O people. The Prophet, his companions, and their followers made every effort to spread the message of truth to all nations and peoples. He naturally began the propagation of God's message among his own people, the Arabs, but that doesn't mean it was restricted to them. Rather, only that initially conveying it to those nearest him was the logical first step toward the realization of a long-term goal. Later in his mission, when conditions became more favorable, he sent letters of invitation to Islam to the rulers of the Byzantine and Persian empires, Abyssinia, Egypt, Damascus, Bahrain, Yamamah, Oman, and others, who represented the influential world figures of the day. Whatever the response to it, the Prophet's message was fully acknowledged by the major powers of his time. 4. Isn't Islam just another faith based on legends? On the contrary, Islam is the only religion whose sources are authentically preserved, historically recognized, and have remained entirely free of a human alteration and interference over the centuries. Its divine scripture, the Quran, contains no myths or fables and is in accord with established facts of science. It provides an acceptable explanation of the origin. Development, and purpose of the universe and for occurrences within it. The message of Islam is not new. The message of Islam is not new. What is new is the form of the message, its dimensions and scale. This final revelation has been preserved in its original state, as promised by God when he revealed, indeed, it is we who sent down the message, and indeed, we will be its guardian. Indeed, it is we who sent down the message, and indeed, we will be its guardian. It has miraculously remained immune to the ravages of time and the interference of man, and is still accessible in its original language to all who seek guidance. Distinct from the teachings of many religions, which assume the incompatibility of faith and reason, Islam upholds the role of the mind and regards those who fail to use reason as intellectually deficient. Again, distinct from the teachings of many religions, which assume the incompatibility of faith and reason, Islam upholds the role of the mind and regards those who fail to use reason as intellectually deficient. Because the mind tends to seek out interrelationships wherever there is variety and multiplicity, it is satisfied it is satisfied by the Quran's clear and unambiguous statement that everything is traceable to a single source, backed with sound arguments and evidence. Because the mind tends to seek out interrelationship wherever there is variety and multiplicity, it is satisfied by the Quran's clear and unambiguous statement that everything is traceable to a single source, backed with sound arguments and evidence. An important feature of Islam is that while it is based exclusively upon revelation from God, never exceeding the bounds of the divinely revealed text, it does not fail to provide logical proofs for its tenets. Islam teaches that one should expect a natural cause for everything that occurs in creation. It promotes the research, study, thought, and contemplation that lead one to faith by conviction rather than blind acceptance. The Quran urges man to observe and consider the signs of God within creation and provide guidelines and provide guidelines for the sound thinking that leads to appropriate conclusions. 5. Don't all world religions have similar objectives? There are many areas in which religions agree, but there are also significant theological and practical differences between them. Undeniably, one will find in every religion expressions of wisdom, high moral values, warnings against evil, and promotion of good works. But what distinguishes Islam from other faiths is that it goes beyond simply urging people to be generous and morally upright. Islam identifies human problems and prescribes practical solutions to them, both individually and collectively. Although there are a variety of religious communities in the world, each of them content with its own version of the truth, Islam represents the completion of divinely revealed religion and the finalized legal code for mankind. For this reason, the Quran states, "Verily the religion in the sight of God is Islam." The divine messages revealed prior to that of Prophet Muhammad all called for the worship of God alone and contained some legislation. However, each of them was addressed to a specific people at a specific period of time in order to remedy particular problems and circumstances such as moral degeneration, economic injustices, and excessive materialism, misuse of power and political oppression. The final message of Islam addresses these same social evils, but as part of a comprehensive program for the amendment, reform, and benefit of every nation, and benefit of every nation, community, and individual, that will exist until the end of the world. The prophethood of Muhammad launched an era in which divine guidance became openly universal, more comprehensive in scope, and precisely detailed. The responsibility for man's fate and moral well-being, depends completely on his own free choice and willing initiative to respond to the invitation of his Creator. Religious beliefs. 6. Do Muslims worship God or Allah? One of the biggest misconceptions about Islam concerns the name Allah. Some people believe that Muslims worship a different God than Christians, Jews, and others, and some missionary organizations distribute literature in English in which they say such things as Allah is a God of the Muslims and Muhammad told people to believe in the God Allah. They thus imply and reinforce the idea that Allah is some sort of false deity. This is totally incorrect because Allah is the same word that Arabic-speaking Christians and Jews use for God. If you pick up an Arabic Bible, you will find the word Allah wherever God is used in English. Allah is also the proper name of God. Therefore, Muslims use the name Allah even when they speak other languages. Allah is a special word. It indicates the only entity in existence who truly possesses the quality or the qualities of divinity and lordship, the creator and sustainer of the heavens and earth. It is the name of the only being worthy of worship, the one upon whom all creation is dependent at every moment. This name belongs to God alone and no one else. Allah is the only word in Arabic language equivalent to God with a capital G. Allah is the only word in Arabic language equivalent to God with a capital G. It is also a unique word grammatically since it cannot be made plural or given a masculine or feminine gender. This is consistent with the Islamic concept of God. In English and other languages, the word God can be used in various forms such as God, gods, or goddess, all with different connotations and meanings. The only difference between God, meaning a false god or any object of worship, and God with capital G, meaning the one true God, is a capital G. Thus, a more accurate translation of Allah might be the one and only true God. But there is another important point, which is that Islam is particularly concerned with the correct concept of God. Someone can have an erroneous concept of him, whether he uses the name Allah or the word God. Followers of previous religions gradually deviated from the original pure belief in God due to the fact that their scriptures were not adequately protected from loss and alteration. None of these are still available for study in their original form or language. But this is not true of the last divinely revealed message, the Quran. Hence, the accurate concept of God can be found therein. 7. If Islam opposes idol worship, why do Muslims pray to a square structure? The simple cube-shaped stone building located in Mecca is called the Kaaba, or the sacred house. It is the point toward which Muslims face when they pray. Although Muslims face the direction of Kaaba during prayer, they do not worship it. Muslims worship and pray only to God. The Kaaba was built by the Prophet Abraham and his son Ishmael. In response to God's command over 4,000 years ago. Abraham consecrated the house for the worship of the one true God and invited all of humanity to visit it for that purpose. Even today, Muslims who are physically and financially able are required to make a pilgrimage to it once in a lifetime. The Kaaba has remained at the center of a continuous tradition of worship and devotion up to the present day, symbolic of permanence, constancy, and renewal. There were periods in human history during which mankind deviated from the monotheism taught by God's prophets. Before the advent of Muhammad, religion among the Arabs had degenerated into polytheism and paganism, and Mecca was completely submerged in idolatry. Some 360 idols had been placed in and around the Kaaba to be worshipped there along with God. Prophet Muhammad was sent to restore to mankind the pure monotheism taught by all the messengers of God and reinstate the worship of Him alone. This he accomplished, and the Kaaba was finally cleared of all man-made deities. Among the ancient religious rites particular to the Kaaba is walking around it. This suggests the integrating and unifying power of monotheism in human life and how a Muslim's existence should revolve around a pure devotion to God. The Kaaba symbolizes the unity of all true religion, the brotherhood of all the prophets, and the essential consistency of their message. When Muslims pray facing toward this single central point, they are reminded of their common purpose and long-term goal. Even when standing directly before the Kaaba in prayer, one is not to look at it, but rather at the ground before him. The spiritual focus is on God alone and never upon any created object. 8. What is the purpose and why should people worship at all? The idea of servitude has become distasteful to the modern secular mindset, which concerns itself with individual liberties. Some might say that humanity has no need to worship, and that doing so compromises freedom. They forget, however, that absolute freedom is neither possible or even desirable for all members of a society, and that is why every social order has its laws and restrictions. Studies in human psychology confirm that man is a worshiper by instinct, that worship is instilled in him as part of his nature, and that he tends to direct it to whatever he considers worthy, other human beings, revered customs or superstitions, materialist ideologies, or his own personal inclinations. An object of worship is that to which one devotes the greatest portion of his thought and effort. An object of worship is that to which one devotes the greatest portion of his thought and effort. So one either worships God, or he worships something other than him, along with him, or instead of him. The worship of God alone is liberating in that it frees one from servitude to all else. Many people misunderstand the concept of worship, assuming that it is merely the practice of certain rituals. But in reality, it includes everything done seeking the acceptance of the one worshipped. According to Islam, the worship of God means willing obedience to his orders and prohibitions, which, besides prayer and other religious obligations, include the fulfillment of promises and agreements, honesty and precision in work, teaching and counseling, encouraging righteousness, assisting others, opposing injustice, and so on. Worship is the right of the Creator upon his creation. It is based on the perception that everything was brought into existence by God and is dependent upon Him, in whose hand is life and death, benefit and harm, and the outcome of every matter. Further, it is based on the knowledge that man is an accountable being. Further, it is based on the knowledge that man is an accountable being in need of God's continuing guidance and acceptance. Islam confirms that although it is His divine right, God does not gain anything from the worship of His servants, nor is He harmed by their refusal. He ordains worship for the benefit of the worshipper himself or herself, and this benefit is obtained by him or her in both this life and the next. When a believer understands that our Creator and Sustainer deserves to be worshipped, he wants to do so because of his gratitude and love for his Lord, and because it is inherently right and correct. 9. Why only one God? Could He not create another God like Himself? The implication here is that the existence of dual or plural deities is possible, and hence probable in the view of a polytheist. However, if the questioner claims that God can create another like Himself, we ask, how can this created being be God who created all things when it has itself been created? How can it be like God since it has a beginning, whereas God has existed from eternity? In reality, the phrase create another God is an erroneous contradiction, because the mere fact that something is created means that it cannot be God. It is obviously illogical and irrational to say that something is God and cannot be God simultaneously. The other implication in this question is that if we answer He cannot, then the power of God must be limited, negating His divinity. These suggestions are not valid, because the absolute and unlimited power of God pertains to what is rationally possible and not what is rationally impossible. So when we say no, which is correct, it does not mean that the power of God is unlimited. Rather, it affirms the perfection of His power, meaning that He is not incapable of doing anything that is rationally possible. Our minds cannot grasp the extent of His power, nor can our imaginations. Therefore, we must admit our inability to contain the essence and nature of God within the limits of our intellect. 10. What is the purpose of our creation? Non-believers are unable to provide any convincing reason for the existence of this universe or a human life, or of a human life. People who believe there is a creator assume that creation occurred by His will. People who believe there is a creator assume that creation occurred by His will. But in a world where everything is shown to have a purpose, it is natural for a human being to wonder about the purpose of his own creation. One is surely justified in expecting the Creator who put us on this earth to inform us why He did so and what He expects of us. The Quran informs us that He did that. He did just that. The Quran informs us that He did just that. It says God created us for a test here on earth, conveying His words. God created us for a test here on earth, conveying His words. Then did you think that He created you uselessly? Then did you think that we created you uselessly? And that to us you would not be returned? An unbeliever might decide that the objective of his life will be to collect wealth, obtain position, or pursue pleasure to the greatest extent possible. But none of this will benefit him in the long run. According to his final scripture, God created man to test him with certain responsibilities. He did not intend life on this earth to necessarily be comfortable or satisfying, but merely a trial of limited duration, the punishment and rewards of which will be due in the hereafter. As mentioned previously, most of creation is Muslim in that it is programmed to obey the physical laws set by God, and this is why the universe functions with balanced equilibrium. Man, however, was given a free will and the ability to either obey or disobey. But God will not allow His universal balance to be upset indefinitely by defiant, corrupt, and sinful people, so He only grants human beings a measure of freedom in a temporary world. The scheme of birth, development, decline, and death provides each with the opportunity to prove to himself, without a doubt, what he will deserve on the day of judgment, which God created for the manifestation of His ultimate justice. The scheme of birth, development, decline, and death provides each with the opportunity to prove to himself or herself without a doubt that he will deserve what he will deserve on the day of judgment, which God created for the manifestation of His ultimate justice. This life is very meaningful and purposeful to the believing Muslim because he realizes that it will determine his outcome and permanent position in the next life. He lives to earn the approval of his Creator in preparation for the final return to Him. We all recognize that people make things to perform specific functions for them, in other words, to serve them. God has made us to serve Him, but with one major difference: it is not for the benefit of the Creator Himself, but for the benefit of us, His creation. The purpose of our existence is thus stated in the Quran: I did not create the jinn and mankind except to worship me. But man's worship of God is not automatic like the vast majority of created beings, but by his own choice and effort, and this is what entitles him or her to honor and reward. How should one worship God in order to fulfill that purpose? This question can undoubtedly best be answered by Him. God has provided every element of His creation living and inanimate with guidance. We can thus expect that He would provide us with guidance as well. His revelation instructs humanity what to do, what to avoid, and the reason for it. It informs man what is expected of him or her, how to accomplish it, and the results of continual positive effort. Through Prophet Muhammad, God revealed to man the ways of worship suitable to his physical and psychological nature and individual talents, and in harmony with his particular role on the earth. These, in combination, are what enables him or her to fulfill the purpose of his or her creation. 11. How do you know there is life after death? We live in a world that demands logic and proof, and is not content with only belief. Someone might wonder how a rational, practical-minded person could believe in life after death. People tend to assume that anyone who believes in the hereafter does so on the basis of a blind faith. But in fact, belief in the hereafter is completely logical, and it is the only way the injustices of this world can be reconciled with a just and all-powerful Creator. We know that in addition to physical pleasures and comfort, there are certain ideal conditions that human beings instinctively desire and strive to attain, such as love, respect, security, and contentment. Though many people are able to acquire a portion of these objectives here on earth, there remains one that is largely unobtainable, and that is justice. Most people hold the conviction that life is not fair, that they have often been misunderstood or not appreciated, that in some way they have been harmed, cheated, or oppressed. Daily newscasts disclose the killing, torture, displacement, and starvation of countless innocent people by powerful tyrants and nations, lives ruined by the vicious or careless acts of others, or by natural disasters, and the poor and helpless being subjected to theft and deception. Seldom is even partial justice ever restored. Yet every human being desires justice. Even if he does not seek it for others, he certainly wants justice for himself or herself. So why has the Creator instilled in man a longing for something he cannot experience in this world? The answer is that this life is only one portion of his existence, and that the logical conclusion which restores the equilibrium found in all creation is in the hereafter. It is there that every person will be fully and precisely compensated for his or her good and evil deeds. This is the perfect and absolute justice which God has promised all people. The present life is a trial in a preparation for the next realm of existence. The explanation given by the Quran about the necessity of life after death is what the moral consciousness of man demands. If there was no life after death, the belief in God would be meaningless, or it would be a belief in some kind of indifferent and negligent deity who, after having created the human race, is no longer concerned with its welfare. But certainly God is just. He will indeed punish the tyrants who have killed thousands and caused suffering to their families, corrupted institutions and societies, enslaved people and nations, robbed, deprived, and plundered. And what about those who patiently endured so much injustice and hardship, suffered to uphold truth, saved lives, or sacrificed in order to assist many people? What earthly compensations could possibly restore the balance for them? This can only take place in an eternal life, where every individual affected in the least by someone's actions will testify for or against him, and where the innermost thoughts and intentions known completely to God will be judged precisely and perfectly. Since man's term of life in this world is limited, and because numerous individuals are affected by one's actions, adequate rewards and punishments are impossible in the present life. Since man's term of life in this world is limited, and because numerous individuals are affected by one's actions, adequate rewards and punishments are impossible in the present life. The Quran states categorically that the day of resurrection must come, and that God will then decree the fate of each soul according to its record of deeds. Additionally, God has stated in the Quran that the present creation is in itself a clear proof that He is able to create and recreate as He wills, whatever He wills, however He wills, and whenever He wills, for God originates and repeats creation with equal ease. Consider these words revealed to His final prophet. Say, travel through the land and observe how He began creation. Then Allah will produce the final creation. Did we fail in the first creation? But they are in confusion over a new creation. Is not He who created the heavens and the earth able to create the likes of them? Yes, and He is the knowing creator. Do they not see that Allah, who created the heavens and earth and did not fail in their creation, is able to give life to the dead? Does man not remember that we created him before while he was nothing? And you have already known the first creation, so will you not remember? Have they not considered how Allah begins creation and then repeats it? Indeed, that for Allah is easy. And it is He who begins creation, then He repeats it, and that is easier for Him. As we began the first creation, we will repeat it. That is a promise binding upon us. Indeed, we will do it. In fact, the material of creation is already in existence, merely to be developed once again at His command. Observable evidence of this ongoing process is now being presented regularly by astronomers and specialists in other fields of modern science. 12. Are the good deeds of non-believers rewarded? Prophet Muhammad disclosed that God rewards according to the intention of each individual. The non-believer expects to be rewarded for his deeds in the present life because he denies or doubts the existence of another life after his death. Thus, he is keen that people should recognize what he does. When he is praised, when he is praised and his deed publicized, he is pleased, for this is the reward he sought. He might also obtain a sum of money in payment for it or a price. This is the compensation he likes most, and God grants it to him. But he is not given additional reward in the hereafter simply because he neither desired it nor worked for it. The believer, on the other hand, is not duly concerned with compensation in this life because he is striving for the greater eternal reward of the hereafter. He does so by worshipping God as He stipulated and by working patiently, honestly, and correctly to the best of his ability, even when no person appreciates his efforts. Because his deeds are done seeking God's acceptance, they are appreciated by him and rewarded. Islam teaches that there are two conditions for God's approval and reward of any deed. One, that it is done explicitly for his acceptance and approval. And two, that it is consistent with the methods ordained by him. In other words, a person must work for God according to the terms he has specified, and not according to his own preferences or those of others. In order to know exactly what God expects of His servants, it is necessary to refer to the legislation revealed by Him in its final form through Muhammad, the final prophet, peace be upon him. 13. Why should someone be a Muslim? Can't we follow any religion we please? There are many people who follow the teachings of a religion as best they can, and others who believe in God in some way without practicing any formal religion. Many have abandoned the thought that there could be any true religion, because nearly all religions claim to be true. And some allow that all religions are legitimate paths to God and are acceptable to Him. So how is Islam different from other religions? Islam has several unique features which can be confirmed through deeper study. Islam is the only religion whose sources have remained free of a human alteration and interference. Its divinely revealed scripture is in harmony with established facts of science, clearly bearing the signature of the creator of this universe. Islam provides answers to the essential fundamental questions which occur to the mind of every intelligent person, those related to the purpose of creation and life, and concerning a further existence after death. Islam is the only religion which insists upon worship of the Creator alone and completely rejects the worship of any aspect of creation. Islam dispenses with all the intermediaries between man and God and allows every individual to contact Him directly or contact God directly, thus eliminating religious hierarchies and other sources of exploitation which have characterized the history of religions throughout the ages. In Islam, no clerk or establishment can come between a person and his creator. While monotheistic faiths share a fundamental belief in God, their understanding of Him differs greatly. Islam declares that God is unique and in no way similar to any of His creation, nor does He merge with it in any form. His attributes are those of complete and absolute perfection, without the slightest deficiency or limitation. Unlike other religions and ideologies, which emphasize some aspects of a human nature at the expense of others, Islam accommodates the physical, intellectual, and spiritual aspects of man. Islam beliefs and practices are natural and appeal to common sense. They present a balanced program of life that fulfills both physical and spiritual needs. Islam prohibits blind following without knowledge and is based upon evidence and logic. The rational mind is the basis for religious accountability and responsibility. All aspects of Islamic belief are clear without any obscurity or ambiguity. It contains no tenet that contradicts reason or observable reality, and it calls on people to study and contemplate as a means of strengthening faith. Islam's religious, moral, economic, political, and social ethics are permanent and remain constant. They are governed by a set of unchanging principles, which include such universal values as justice, freedom, equality, brotherhood, and social responsibility. History provides an outstanding example in the model Islamic society established by Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his companions, and maintained for decades by devoted Muslims, where truth and transparency, justice and compassion were implemented as a vital expression of the religion. Footnote: anyone to whom God's message was not adequately conveyed yet believed in Him and tried to worship Him with sincere intention will be judged by God according to what is in his heart and mind, for He is the ultimate judge of all affairs. The Quran states that God never punishes a people until after He has sent them a messenger with a clear order to worship their Creator alone without any associates. It also states that He does not punish for what people are unable to know or what is beyond their capability. Islam also declares that it is the religion of truth, for this is stated unambiguously in the Quran. However, the Creator does not force His preference on anyone. He wants people to accept right guidance by their own choice and free will, because that is what makes them worthy of His approval and reward. The Quran states, there is no compulsion in accepting religion. The truth has been made distinct from falsehood. Had Allah willed, He would have made you one nation, united in religion, but He intended to test you in what He has given you, so hasten to all that is good. to Allah is your return altogether, and He will then inform you concerning that over which you used to differ. 14. Isn't Islam fatalistic? Muslims know that all things are from God and occur by His will. Thus, they tend to worry less about material matters and view the life of this world in a proper perspective. A Muslim believer relies completely on God and knows that whatever happens is always for the best, whether he recognizes it or not, so he graciously accepts whatever cannot be changed. However, this doesn't mean that a Muslim sits around awaiting destiny and takes no positive action in life. On the contrary, Islam demands action and effort to change every undesirable situation, and this is a requirement of the faith. It totally rejects the teaching that one should not go to a doctor when ill, but only pray to God for a cure. If human beings had no ability to act, God could not justly expect them to do and not to do certain things. Far from being fatalistic, Islam teaches that man's main obligation in life is to exert effort in obedience to God, which includes seeking benefit and avoiding harm. Islam teaches that human beings should take positive action in life and supplement it with a prayer. Some people are lazy and careless and then blame the negative result on destiny or fate. Some even say that if God had willed, they would not have sinned or committed crimes. All this is entirely incorrect because He has provided complete guidance and instruction on how to live and has ordered upright conduct at all times. God has not ordered anything that man cannot do or prohibited anything he cannot avoid because His justice is complete and perfect. Each individual is held responsible within the limits of his own ability, but not beyond it. Although our deeds and our destiny are decreed by God and known to Him, it does not mean He compels us to do anything. Rather, He will to give us options about our course of action, and thus, whatever decisions we make are within the framework of His will. God knows what every person will choose to do and then allows him to do it, while not necessarily approving of his choice. While He does not call anyone to account for what is beyond His control, human beings are indeed responsible for every free choice they make, and they will find the consequences of their choices and actions in both this life and the next. Cause and effect is a natural law created by God to be utilized by His creatures. It is the law by which one's destiny is determined. So the destiny of each individual is predetermined by God, but it is also the direct result and consequence of his or her own choices and actions, and this is what the Creator has willed and decreed.